the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Outside, there's still snow on the ground. It snowed last night. Sent home from work early. Couldn't sleep. I'm used to third shift. So I'm probably kind of a little bit on the delirious side. Don't take that seriously. I just don't know if I'm coming or going. Anyway, national championship game was wrapped up last night, as Michigan is your national champions. But what I want to do, I want to start my show a little bit different, because I know some people take the national anthem as serious. Well, last night was a performance for the ages, and I know if you search down through the videos and the archives of performances of the national anthem, you will find your favorite. I had one where it was Brian McKnight and David Sanborn doing the national anthem at the NBA All-Star game some years back. That's been a while. Then there is Mike Phillips on numerous occasions on the saxophone, who just really crushed it. But last night's performance was by a particular star who is one of the lead actors in the new Color Purple movie, Grammy Award winner, just a beautiful lady inside and out, none other than Fantasia. And what I want to do is, I want to start my show off by playing Fantasia doing the national anthem prior to the national championship game. So enjoy this moment.
Grammy Award-winning superstar and lead actress in Warner Brothers' The Color Purple, Fantasia Burino Taylor.
Can you see by the dawn's early light, which so proudly we at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. In the Rockies' legacy, the bombs bursting in air came through to the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner. For the land of the free,
So all I'm going to say is it doesn't get any better. Of course, saying that, there will always be another one that comes along. So never say never, but what a grand performance last night by one Fantasia. Now let's get on into the news. As I alluded to, that was prior to the national championship game, in which Michigan won that game by the score of 34-13. But that was not the headline. What actually grabbed people's attention was, and it always gets my attention, especially when it centers around a coach whose future is up in the air. First questions everybody want to know is, what's next? So Michigan's 34-13 victory on Monday night over Washington sealed a 15-0 season for the Wolverines, delivering the university's first national title since 1997, following the Who's Got It Better Than Us howls from the podium. Questions immediately turned to Jim Harbaugh's future. The former San Francisco 49ers head coach, who led Michigan past nine seasons, including trips to the college football playoff each of the past three seasons, following back-to-back wins over rival Ohio State, was asked Monday night about the potential of jumping back to the NFL. And I like his response. He says, like I said the other day, in other words, if you didn't get it the first time, let me say, like I said the other day, I hope to have a future. I hope there's a tomorrow, a day after tomorrow, a next week, a next month, a next year. That's not a no, folks. Harbaugh is expected to be a hot coaching candidate this cycle after getting interviews 2 years ago with Minnesota and Denver last season before ultimately returning to Michigan. Over the weekend, NFL Network insiders Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero reported that multiple NFL teams have been making calls regarding a possible pursuit of Harbaugh. The Michigan coach also recently retained agent Don Yee, famously Tom Brady's agent, viewed as a sign of a potential return to the NFL. Isn't it amazing how people jump to conclusions? You know, there's a story of a horse, and the horse was named Conclusion, and they would always tie this horse up outside the window. And as the story goes, you know, every time the bell rang, the guy who owned the horse would hop on the horse and, you know, ride to mass, whatnot, but he always tied him up outside his window. Well, one day he tied the horse up, so to speak. Horse was gone. The man jumped out the window, fell into a hole. The moral of that story is basically this. Never jump to conclusions. You get the rest of that tomorrow sometime. But people always jump to conclusions just because they have a mutual agent. That doesn't always mean it's a potential jump. That's just someone trying to get a story, in my opinion. So, Michigan's national title under Harbaugh wasn't without controversy. Coach served school-imposed three-game suspension to start the season for alleged, keyword is alleged, recruiting violations during the COVID-19 pandemic. He also was suspended for the last three regular season games for violating the Big Ten sportsmanship policy in connection with the Connor Stallions' alleged sign-stealing scheme, to which I say, what a joke, because I believe it was one of the lower bottom feeding teams that was up in arms because they felt that there was some sign-stealing going on. Michigan could have beat the teams that they beat this year by the sheer domination of what they beat them. First of all, why would they have to steal signs from them? And secondly, their second team probably could have beat those teams' first team. So why would Michigan need to steal signs from some bottom feeders? Hey, that's how I feel about that. And am I a Michigan fan? No, I am not a Michigan fan. But I'm just stating, you know, everybody wants to say that they cheated the system. I'm going to say, why would they have to? For one, you know, Iowa can't score points. Michigan State, they was in such shambles under their coach that was suspended, terminated. It was a wonder that they made a bowl game. Was that North? No, that was Northwestern. But you get my point. Why would Michigan have to steal signs from teams like Michigan State, for real? I mean, Michigan's third team could have probably beat Michigan's first team. That's how dominating Michigan was this year en route to a 15-0 season. I'm just stating the obvious. So, do I have a dog in this fight? No, I do not. But since everybody want to pile on, I'm taking the opposite route because I don't want to be part of the crowd. I want to be that one that stands out. I'm pretty sure my good buddy Scott Stiles, as if he listened to this, he would probably agree with me. Why would Michigan need to steal signs from those schools? I can understand if it was Ohio State, and even they had something to say about that. But we're not going to talk about that. Let's get back to this. We stood strong and tall because we knew we were innocent. Harbaugh said of the investigations, it went exactly how we wanted it to go. It went exactly how we wanted it to go. The investigations into his undefeated program could incentivize Harbaugh to return to the NFL, more speculation. However, Rappaport and Pelissero reported in October that the NFL is unlikely to be a safe harbor for Harbaugh and could enforce some or all of any discipline imposed by the NCAA. Okay. Despite the allegations, Harbaugh's ability to turn around programs, including at the pro level, will spur interest from NFL clubs. Harbaugh is a winner whose players love him despite his quirks. Those attributes will make him one of the top coaching candidates this season. So, once again, for those who was trying to get the story first, all I can say is, still don't have nothing. All you have is just pure speculation. Anyway, there is more news. As just when you thought the coaching carousel done, another one bit the dust today. That's right. Mike Vrabel no longer coach of the Tennessee Titans after two consecutive losing seasons. As we get ready to pause and take a break, we will come back. Well, you know what? I think I'm going to extend this first segment a little bit longer. I do not have to take no station breaks. I mean, I am going to take one. I'm just not going to take one right now, as I'm going to get into this story, and then the second part of it, I'll take a break and come back to the second part, as the speculation is really ramping up as how it will connect with possibly Bill Belichick and possibly Vrabel. Because if you know anything about Belichick's coaching tree, the only one that has really been successful at any level has been Mike Vrabel. So, what are we looking at? We're looking at Mike Vrabel. If I can pull him up, because that is news that you could possibly use right now. Don't know why come my feed isn't coming up, but we're going to get this to you. we're looking into the NFL. There we go. And we have it. Thank you for being patient with me as we look at Mike Vrabel was fired by the Titans after his second straight losing season. Mike Vrabel was lauded as one of the best head coaches in the NFL just a couple of years ago, but everything is temporary in the NFL. In other words, up today can be down the next day. In a surprise, the Tennessee Titans reacted to a second straight losing season by firing Vrabel. The Titans started 2-4 before their bye and never were much of a factor in the playoff race after that. It was the rare season under Vrabel in which the Titans were irrelevant. There will be huge changes in Tennessee this offseason. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are free agents and both seem unlikely to return, and the changes will include a new head coach. So Mike Vrabel had a strong start. Vrabel, the longtime New England Patriots linebacker, worked his way up the coaching ladder quickly, and the Titans hired him to be their head coach in 2018. He had four straight winning seasons to start his head coaching career. The Titans' best season was 2021. They went 12-5 and were the AFC's top seed. Vrabel won NFL Coach of the Year, but the Titans lost their playoff opener to the Cincinnati Bengals. Vrabel won two playoff games and both came in the 2019 season. They lost the AFC Championship game to the Kansas City Chiefs that season. In 2022, it seemed like another strong season for the Titans. They were 7-3, but they lost seven straight to finish the season and missed the playoffs. When the losing continued into the 2023 season, Vrabel was suddenly on the hot seat. So who will Titans hire? Vrabel, first of all, should get another head coaching job right away. His work with the Titans was respected around the league. The Titans will be undergoing a significant transformation from the Tannehill-Henry era if both depart as expected. Quarterback Will Levis shows some positive signs as a rookie, and he'll presumably be the team's starter in 2024. The defense never fell too far under Vrabel, but the offense's holes were exposed this past season. There is a lot of work to be done on that side of the ball. The Vrabel era in Tennessee didn't ultimately result in a Super Bowl appearance. It did feature a lot of wins, but two straight losing seasons caused the Titans to make an unexpected change. So, there you have the news on Mike Vrabel as the Titans decide to part ways. And I can tell you it will be a different Titans team next year, possibly with no Tannehill, which a lot of people were ready to see Tannehill go anyway. But Derrick Henry, some way you have to, unless it's going to be a total rebuild, you have to find a way to keep him on board, especially with the new young quarterback who would be in his second year. You got to have some type of stable in that backfield to keep that backfield stable. And who other to do it than someone like a Derrick Henry and make the transition totally smooth for Will Levis and put the right pieces around him. Anyway, what I'm going to do right here, there's more to this story as it connects to the New England Patriots. You heard that he was a linebacker for the New England Patriots, worked his way up the coaching ranks. So I'm going to have more on that after I take this break. So, don't you go nowhere. I will be right back. It is A-Train Sports Talk Podcast with your host and your conductor, Anthony Smith.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the glass man? Hey Glassman.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the Glassman.
Hey Glassman.
The Glassman will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey Glassman.
Bring your vehicle to the Glassman just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P Seed and Bait, is fully stocked for all your pet needs. We carry Victor, Bully Max, Diamond Value Pack, and many more brands. In addition, we carry collars, chains, and any pet supplies you may need, including grooming supplies and dog shots. Make sure to like us on social media.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Welcome back into the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Your host, your conductor, Anthony Smith, the state's number one podcast. That's right, in the state of Kansas, this is the number one podcast. And until you can prove me wrong, it's the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. Yes, I like having fun with that. I like saying that. It sounds good to say that. Thanks to my sponsor, The Glassman, and looking forward to bringing on a new sponsor here in the new within the near future, in the not so distant future, and looking to get more even after I secure my next sponsor. I'll just say this: CBD. Now, don't go speculating which shop it is, but when you hear it, you'll know where to go. It's all about supporting local businesses and listening to local broadcasts. So right now, thanks to the Glassman, who is currently on board, and thanks to my future sponsor claiming that, and I'm claiming many more throughout this year as this train, you know, I always say A-Train is building up a head of steam. Well, we're definitely going to be building up a head of steam in this year and the years to come as we will officially make this the number one podcast in the state of Kansas, your go-to for all your sports news locally, regionally, statewide, nationally. You're going to get it all right here. And we're going to, if I can use this word, we're going to re-expand, bring back some segments that you come to love, because there are some local people in here. That's called my Outside the Box segment, which is not always sports related. Some things that you may need to know what's going on here in the city of Wichita, in the community, that you may not hear on mainstream radio. So we got that out the way. As they say in radio business, we got a little bit of housekeeping out the way. Now, in that first segment, we was talking about Mike Vrabel getting fired. Well, eyes are already on where he could possibly be going. He's a good coach. He proved that. He comes from the New England way. He was a linebacker there, worked his way up the coaching ranks. So he knows the Patriot way. So the speculation is, as Bill Belichick's or the NFL fans, I, Mike Vrabel, as Bill Belichick's Patriots successor after Titans firing. Of course, now, we heard yesterday that Bill Belichick said he's still under contract. I'm going to add, for now. They had a meeting yesterday. Nothing concrete has come out of that meeting as of yet. Haven't heard anything. So, even though you may have Vrabel penciled in, who's to say Kraft might say, you know what, we're going to give you the farewell tour. You can come back and coach the final year of your contract. So, let's not put the cart before the horse. But Mike Vrabel will be looking for a new job this offseason. Vrabel was fired as head coach of the Tennessee Titans on Tuesday. Titans owner Adam Strump wanted fresh approach and perspective of a new coaching staff after a 6-18 stretch over the last two seasons, including 1-9 in division games. Here's what he had to say. He said, earlier today I spoke with Mike Vrabel and told him about my decision to make a change at head coach. I appreciate Mike's contributions to the Tennessee Titans, both on and off the field. We wish Mike, Jen, and the Vrabel family nothing but the best in the future. Vrabel had served as head coach of the Titans since 2018, leading the team to a 54-45 record and three playoff berths in that span. However, Tennessee has struggled mightily over the last 2 years, going 13-21 and missing the playoffs in each of the last two seasons. With the franchise struggling to win games, it was clear a parting of ways was on the horizon. Now that Vrabel is available, speculation on where he'll land has reached new heights. That said, it didn't take long for NFL fans to begin a conversation about whether the 48-year-old could be Bill Belichick's successor as head coach of the New England Patriots, should team owner Robert Kraft part ways with his longtime head coach. Here's what Adam Schefter had to say on X, formerly known as Twitter. That's probably about one of the only few times you hear me reference X and Twitter like that. But Adam Schefter said, Titans fired head coach Mike Vrabel, per sources. Mike Vrabel led Tennessee to four consecutive winning seasons after arriving in 2018, but the Titans have experienced back-to-back frustrating seasons, finishing multiple games under 500 both times. Then we have one. Caesars Sportsbook at Casino at Caesars Sports. Robert Kraft seen this news, and it's a picture of Bill Belichick with the WWE logo down in the bottom, and looked like he is heading into the arena where the Detroit Lions are at. People are sticking out their hands for him to give a five, and he just basically walked right past and ignored him, just like a villain in WWE. So that's what Caesar Sportsbook has. It says Robert Kraft seeing this news. Then there's one, DraftKings Sportsbook at DraftKings Sportsbook says Mike Vrabel returning to the Patriots. So DraftKings already have him returning, so I'm pretty sure that's going to be a betting line. Brett Coleman, Mike Vrabel, you are a New England Patriot. And then this is going to be the last tweet I read. Tati Abeji, at Real Tati Abeji, I hope I pronounced that right. Wow, Mike Vrabel is out as Tennessee, as Titans head coach. He's such a good coach who has success in Tennessee as his teams play physical and hard. He'll get another opportunity, and maybe it's with the Patriots who he played for. So there are some people that's already circling or penciling him in as a possible New England Patriot successor to Bill Belichick. So right there, you already pretty much know what my poll question is going to be. Will Mike Vrabel be the next head coach of the New England Patriots? Or will someone else offer up something to where he can't refuse? Because trust me, unless he decides to take a year off after what has transpired, he's going to be coaching. I could possibly see one of these vacancies next year. It could be with the Los Angeles Chargers. It could possibly be, who knows, the Atlanta Falcons. You never know. There are five vacancies that are open, because the Tennessee vacancy doesn't count, because that's where he got terminated from. So we don't include that. But one thing is, I don't think I want to see him in the NFC East. Anyway, this story goes on. Vrabel spent 8 of his 14 NFL seasons with the Patriots, entering his lone Pro Bowl and All-Pro selections in 2007. The former linebacker was a staple in the New England defense and won 3 Super Bowl titles with the franchise, 2002, 2004, and 2005. Bleacher Report's Jordan Schultz reported Monday that Vrabel is interested in the idea of returning to the Patriots if the team parts ways with Belichick this offseason. Rumors about Belichick's future with the Patriots continue to swirl following the team's 4-13 finish to the 2023 campaign. New England has missed the playoffs in 3 of the last 4 seasons, and it might be time for a change following 24 years with Belichick at the helm. Now that Vrabel is on the market, the former Patriot being the next head coach in New England makes too much sense. So, once again, the question is Vrabel a lock for the Patriots' next head coaching job? Should Robert Kraft say it's time to let things go? I'm pretty sure there are some financial things that need to be ironed out before such a move could be made like that on both ends, on the parting of ways and the incoming. But New England fans, and I'm not even in that area, but right now, there, I'm pretty sure there appears to be a sense of excitement in the change of direction that could possibly be taking place. And there are those who are already crowning Vrabel, saying that he is a Patriot. So what I'm going to do, because I've spent a lot of time for some reason on Mike Vrabel, because it's news that came down the wire today, and it's very rare that I get in on news as it happens that day. So what I'm going to do, so I can shift gears, I am going to take a break right here. And when I come back, we will most definitely build up a head of steam and take this train in whatever direction we choose to go in. Stay in your seat until the ride is over. It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. Need a haircut? Do like I do. Go to 256 North Topeka, Midtown Barbershop. 2 seasoned barbers on staff. You have Malcolm and you have Tony. Specializing in bald haircuts, bald fades, mustache and beard trims. You name it, they can do it. That's right. That's Malcolm. That's Tony at Midtown Barbershop. 256 North Topeka. You may walk in looking like $5, but by the time they get through, you'll walk out looking like brand new money. That's Midtown Barbershop with Tony and Malcolm. Tell them the A-Train sent you.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, the number one podcast in the state of Kansas, where you can get all your information for news and sports with your favorite conductor, Anthony Smith, behind the wheels of a locomotive, steady building up a head of steam. I'm going to go a different direction for right now, because one of the things in expanding the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, I want to talk some Kansas sports, and I'm going to get back into the high school basketball full court press. Not sure if there's any games. I haven't looked on the website. So just bear with me on that aspect as we will get the full court press up going full steam ahead. But I do want to take a look at the schedule for the KCAC. I'm pretty sure there's not no games tonight, but I'm looking at a slate of games tomorrow. As they would call this, pretty much this season, they would call it the Road to Hartman, which means they will be playing their tournament games, their postseason tournament games, to get to the next level at Hartman Arena, which I plan on getting down there, plan on making new friends and reaching out to coaches as well, too, for the Coach's Corner. Yes, the Coach's Corner is going to be a strong suit on this podcast as well, too. So, looking forward to making new relationships throughout the year. But the men's basketball schedule and these game times vary anywhere from 7 to 8 o'clock. You have Bethany College going up against Southwestern College. That should be a pretty good game. These games are all scheduled for January the 10th. And I do believe that these are also men, women and men double header games, because I've seen the women's games posted on the 10th as well, too. So get you a good double header of women and men's basketball at the game of your choosing. Once again, Bethany College at Southwestern. Ottawa University taking on University of St. Mary. Evangel University will be taking on Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Kansas Wesleyan University taking on York University. And you have Bethel College going up against Sterling College. Friends will be taking on Avila. So those are the games that are scheduled for tomorrow. However, prior to that, there were some players of the week that were named. But I better get my bearings on straight to make sure that here's what I want to look at right here. Because as I was reading the schedule, I noticed there were some a game of interest here. And we're going to look at the coaches poll. Is that what I'm looking at here? Just bear with me, because some of this information is pretty much all just here we go, right here. This is the most recent, as there were some players of the week that were named. Jaden Hibbett of Ottawa University and Kenyon Holcomb of Tabor College have earned the KCAC Men's Basketball Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week honors, respectively. The conference office announced the two student athletes were selected for their performance from, actually this is from November 27th through December the 3rd, by a vote of Conference Sports Information Directors. All KCAC Player of the Week honors are presented by Equity Bank. Offensive Player of the Week, Jaden Hibbett, Ottawa University, 6'6" junior guard from Woodbridge, Virginia. In two wins, Hibbett averaged 25.5 points, 6.5 rebounds per game. He shot 59.4% from the floor, 55.6% from behind the three-point line, and 100% from the free throw line. This marks the second time this season Hibbett has been named KCAC Men's Basketball Player of the Week. Something would tell me that he is a scoring threat every time he touches the ball. Defensive Player of the Week, Kenyon Holcomb, Tabor College, 6'8" junior forward from Tomball, Texas. Holcomb had 6 blocks this last week, including 5 against Avila on Wednesday. He also tallied 15 rebounds and 2 steals while scoring 9.5 points per game. So, there you have a look at what's going on in the KCAC. and the games that are to come. So, like I said, get out and cheer on the team of your choosing at the gym of your location throughout the state of Kansas in the KCAC. And the beauty of it is, if you notice, there are teams like Oklahoma Wesleyan in this conference, York University, and of course Avila. I noticed they are prevalent in both football and basketball, whereas some of these schools I mentioned, I don't recall mentioning them during the football season. So that's the beauty of the KCAC. As we look at some more news, hopefully, concerning the KCAC, as we are going to give them some love. As of the 8th of this month, Rodriguez named KCAC Women's Wrestler of the Week. Christelle Rodriguez of number 15 Doan University has been named KCAC Women's Wrestler of the Week. The conference office announced Monday Rodriguez was selected for her performance from January 1 to January 7 by vote of conference sports information directors. Then, also on the 8th, Friends sweeps KCAC Women's Basketball Weekly honors. Raylan Garner and Taylor Jackson, both of Friends University, have earned the KCAC Women's Basketball Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week honors, respectively. The conference office announced on Monday the two student athletes were selected for their performances from January 1st through the 7th by a vote of conference sports information directors. And then looking at the men's side of it, this is the updated version now. Kansas Wesleyan sweeps KCAC Men's Basketball Weekly Honors. Alex Littlejohn and John Murdoch, both of Kansas Wesleyan University, have earned the KCAC Men's Basketball Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week honors, respectively, the conference office announced Monday. The two student athletes were selected for their performance from January 1st through 7th by a vote of conference information directors. Of course, all KC Player of the Week honors are presented by Equity Bank. So let's just take a little deep dive into these Players of the Week. I know it seems like this segment is geared toward KCAC. Hey, I'm a Kansas boy, so I'm going to give these Kansas schools some love. So, as I said, stated, Friends sweeps KCAC Women's Basketball Weekly honors. So let's take a look at them. Offensive Player of the Week, Raylan Garner, Friends University, 5'6" sophomore from forward, 5'6" sophomore from Kingfisher, Oklahoma. Garner averaged 25 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, and 2.5 steals in the Friends University Falcons. Two games this past week, highlighted by a 30-point career-high effort in a 92-59 victory over York University. As part of her 30-point performance, Garner lifted the Falcons by scoring 14 of points of a 28-2 burst that turned a 9-point deficit to a 17-point cushion. Garner ranks second in the KCAC in scoring, 17.5 points per game this season, and fourth in field goal percentage at 52.7%. This is the third time this season Garner has earned the KCAC Women's Basketball Offensive Player of the Week. Defensive Player of the Week, Taylor Jackson, Friends University, 6'3", junior forward from Houston, Texas. Jackson once again anchored the Friends University Falcon defensive efforts, averaging double-digit defensive rebounds, 10 and 3.5 blocks. Jackson had 13 defensive boards versus Tabor and blocked a season-high tying 5 shots in a 92-59 victory over York University. For the season, Jackson is tops in the KCAC in defensive rebounding at 7.1 and second in blocks at 2.3 blocks per game. This is the second consecutive time Jackson has been named the KCAC Women's Basketball Defensive Player of the Week, and is the third time overall this season that she has earned the honor. So, I want to applaud them young women. Now, as we go back, we're going to take a look at the men's side, which was swept by Kansas Wesleyan University, as they had two players sweep offensive and defensive player of the week honors. Offensive player of the week, Alex Littlejohn, Kansas Wesleyan University, 6'6", junior forward from Newton, Kansas. Littlejohn had two monstrous games last week as the Coyotes went 2-0, defeating number 6 ranked and unbeaten at the time, Southwestern, and then beating Tabor. Littlejohn dominated the Southwestern game, scoring 31 points, grabbing 13 rebounds, and handing out 5 assists and 2 steals. He followed that performance with 23 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals against Tabor. For the week, he put up some impressive numbers, shooting 67.9% from the field and 78.9% at the line, and nailed the long three-pointer he took during the week. Littlejohn ranks 4th in NAIA in rebounding and is closing in on 1,000 points for his career for the Coyotes. This marks the second time this season Littlejohn has been named the KCAC Men's Basketball Offensive Player of the Week. Defensive Player of the Week, John Murdoch, Kansas Wesleyan University, 5'11" senior guard, Wichita, Kansas. Murdoch was huge for the Coyotes on the defensive side of the ball in a pair of victories. He helped KWU come away with a road win over number 6 ranked and unbeaten at the time, Southwestern, and then a win at home over Tabor against Southwestern. He was charged with guarding 7 Clark, where he forced Clark into shooting 23 times to get 22 points, and just 2 of 7 on 3-point tries. He also blocked a pair of shots in the game against Southwestern. Against Tabor, Murdoch guarded Caleb Crane, primarily holding him to 6 points, half of his season average, 12.5, on just 6 shots with no 3-point tries. Season average 3.4 per game. He also tallied 2 steals in the game as KWU posted a 2-0 week and moved into first place in the conference. This is the second weekly award of the season for Murdoch, as he was named the KCAC Men's Basketball Offensive Player of the Week on November the 6th. So, applause to these young men as they have excelled on the court and helping their team to victory. With that being said, I am going to go back and I am going to take a look at the standings if by chance I seen that earlier, and I want to give you the standings as we get ready to move into these games tomorrow. If I can effort that, I sure will. Hope you are enjoying this ride. We got the upcoming games right there. Now, if we can just get the standings. I do know that there's a couple of schools that are sitting atop the conference at 7-1. That much I do know. And I believe we're getting there. And here we go. We are pulling it up right now. Hope you are enjoying this as we take this different direction here. And the standings are as follows: as Oklahoma Wesleyan University and Kansas Wesleyan University stand atop the standings at 7-1. That's their conference record. Overall, OWU comes in at 13-1 overall record, while Kansas Wesleyan University is 10-4 overall. Southwestern College coming in at 6-2 in conference, 11-2 overall. McPherson College, the Bulldogs, 6-2 and 11-3. Sterling College, 5-3, 9-4. Evangel University, 5-3, 7-6. Ottawa University, 4-4, 9-5. Bethel College, 4-4, 7-7. York University, 4-4, 6-8. University of St. Mary, 2-6, 6-8. Friends University, 2-6, 5-8. Tabor College, 2-6, 5-9. Avila College, 1-7, 2-8. And coming in at the bottom, Bethany College, 1-7, 2-11. On the women's basketball side of things, you have Tabor College at 8-0, 11-3. University of St. Mary, 8-0, 11-3. From right here in Wichita, Kansas, Friends University at 6-2, 9-5. Evangel University, 5-3, 7-4. Ottawa University, 4-4, 9-5. Sterling College, 4-4, 7-7. Bethany College, 4-4, 6-8. Kansas Wesleyan University, 4-4, 6-8. Avila University, 4-4, 5-9. Bethel College, 4-4, 4-10. Oklahoma Wesleyan University, 2-6, 4-10. York University, 2-6, 3-9. McPherson College, 1-7, 5-9. And Southwestern College, 0-8, 0-12. So there you have a look at KCAC, Players of the Week, games coming up, standings. Didn't know I was going to be that long on KCAC, but hey, it's all well worth it. You got to show love to home. Old saying goes like this, it's a poor frog that doesn't praise its own pond. So I hope you enjoyed that ride down KCAC Boulevard. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my final break, and when I come back, we're going to bring this train back into the station. So don't you go nowhere. It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. Your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. This episode of the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast is sponsored by The Glass Man, located at 4411 West Central, Wichita, Kansas, 67212. If your windshield is chipped, cracked, or just simply broken, take it to The Glass Man.
Chipped, cracked, or completely broken, does your vehicle need The Glass Man?
Okay, Glass Man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call The Glass Man.
Okay, Glass Man.
The Glass Man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Okay, Glass Man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glass Man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
Is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Grab your tickets, get on board, and enjoy the ride. It's the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. All aboard!
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. This is your host. This is your conductor. Your all-everything guy, Smith. So glad you are on board the A-Train, taking you on a ride down Sports Boulevard. And hope you are enjoying this ride. Cold day, snow on the ground. Some beautiful sights to see, although I'm not a snow person. Riding around town on my way to the gym, seeing Bambi and the Kamikaze just out minding their business until some idiot decided they wanted to blow their darn horn and scare the deer off. At least I got some pictures. I took pictures. It was a sight to see. The trees look beautiful with the snow on there. I mean, yes, I found some beauty in it. And no, I'm still not a snow person. I'd be glad when the snow is gone. I'm not a 100-degree person either, like a guy I know in radio. Yes, I'm going to call his name, Doug Downs. Yes, you can hear him on the game plan each and every morning. Each and every morning that he's there from 6 a.m. to 9. He wants it to be 100 degrees every day. I say he crazy as hell. I'm not a cold weather person, but I'm not an extremely hot person. I'll take it about 70 to 80, year in, year out. That's how I'll take it. So you tell Doug, I'm pretty sure if you ever listen to this, I'm going to pass a message on to him, because there's a couple of guys that work there in the evening that I know I can get a message to him. Tell him he can have his 100-degree weather all by himself. I'll take 70 to 80, year in, year out. Anyway, I'm ready to bring this train to the station, but there is some more to get to, and I don't want to leave nothing undone. Looking at a couple of headlines here. First thing I'm going to look at as we get ready to close things out is in relation to the national championship game. Headline read, they can hate all they want. Michigan knows what you're thinking. And it caught my attention, and I want to share it with you guys, and I have some few more other things I want to share. So as the confetti, maize, and blue fell on the Michigan Wolverines, Kenneth Grant thought about those reps of bench press in the spring, the squats in the winter, and the deadlifts this fall. Brad McGregor thought about that 6 a.m. off-season wake-up call for morning conditioning, then classes followed by hours of watching film. Carson Loveland thought about that November players-only meeting where frustrations over criticism of Michigan's sign-stealing scandal aired for everyone to hear. Michigan players thought about it all the work, sweat, and tears to reach the pinnacle of the sport on Monday night in NRG Stadium. But in the aftermath of the Wolverines' first national championship win since 1997, most common one was quite clear. They thought about those haters, the critics, the outside forces who questioned all of that preparation, all of the work, sweat and tears, the morning lifts and wake-up calls, the film watching, and team meetings. All the haters have to watch us win the national championship, said Grant, Michigan sophomore defensive lineman. They can hate all they want. Michigan players told us so. All of us, they say. They proved us wrong. Every last one of us, they claim. We fueled their fire, ignited their championship march, sparked their 15-0 finish capped by a romping 34-13 win over Washington. On Monday night, across a confetti-covered field and a cigar smoke-filled locker room tunnel, Michigan players celebrated in one of the more vengeful ways, polite but blunt, calm but persistent. They brought to life their moniker, Michigan versus everybody, in a memorable post-game scene that can be summed up quite succulently. We showed all you haters you can't take that away from us. We're legends, said McGregor, a senior edge rusher. Everybody said we couldn't do it. Coach Jim Harbaugh got suspended. Oh, we're going to put an asterisk if they win the national championship. We go out here and did it. Nobody can say anything now. We proved the doubters wrong all year. Kept going. We put our heads down and kept grinding. Didn't care what the press said and ESPN and all that. Look where we are. Natty champs. The Natty, the 12th in the school's history, is heading back to Ann Arbor. But with it is something more. The proof players and coaches say that a sign-stealing scheme that rocked college football this season was not the reason in which this team win games. Since the sign-stealer, Connor Stallions, was exposed and resigned from staff, Michigan went 8-0. The Wolverines beat their in-state rival Michigan State by 49 points. Quite literally ran over number 9 Penn State in Happy Valley without their head coach. Beat number 2 Ohio State without their head coach. Clobbered number 18 Iowa, won a Rose Bowl semifinal over number 4 Alabama, and trounced the second-ranked Huskies. It's like, if you have kids and they question the integrity of our kids, said Michigan offensive coordinator Sherrone Moore. They proved who they are on the field and how they prepare. They made a statement and answered that question. The question: was it the sign stealing or the skill? Was it the rule breaking or the talent? The illegal scouting or the preparation? How did Michigan win? How much did the scheme contribute? Maybe we'll never know. Or maybe we do already. We lived it. We lived it for 3 months of intense scrutiny on our program and these kids, Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel said. To me, it hurt because I knew how these kids were and I knew who this staff is. While we have things we have to deal with and we'll deal with them, this is proof that they have all the character that anybody would want for a kid. Those questioning the legitimacy of the title, several coaches and administrators have indeed done so, need to look at the accomplishments, said Santa Ono, the Michigan president who stood in the interview room, one of the game's footballs in his hand and a sweeping smile on his face. If you hear some of the people most critical of the institution, they really have done a change, a 180, he told Yahoo Sports. We got 6 wins without Coach Harbaugh. Got some pretty tough wins, Alabama. This is a very deserving team. On a raised stage in the middle of the field, this was a celebration more than a quarter century in the making. A we showed you party. A roaring crowd of maize and blue confetti cannons. Hugs, tears, newspapers with words, hell yes, scrawled across their front. A whopper of a kiss from Jack Harbaugh onto his wife, Jackie, and a giant championship ring toted around the players. And the celebration was a reminder of his controversy. After all, this one, the most controversial championship season in college football history. Standing back from the stage, occasionally offering a handshake of congratulations to Michigan celebrators as Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, the man who levied an unprecedented penalty by suspending Harbaugh 3 games based on evidence from the NCAA's investigation into the school's a sign-stealing scheme. Evidence linked a booster to funding the scheme and an assistant coach to interfering with the investigation. As the on-stage celebration wound down, Petitti disappeared off the field down a dark tunnel out of the stadium. The Wolverines, meanwhile, partied onward, basking in that confetti. They remembered those off-season lifts, the wake-up calls, the team meetings. They proved something here on this field, they say. They proved that stealing signs didn't lead to this. And you cannot and will not take that away from them with an asterisk, their athletic director says. Hell no, Manuel said. Why? I don't know why. They proved it on the field. Why would somebody want to say now that there's some asterisk? Ridiculous. This team has proven they're a champion. Period. End of story. There ain't no asterisk. So there you have the culmination of what was the Michigan season. Marred by controversy. But at the end of the day, all you can say is not one, not two, not three, not 4, not 5, but 6 games without their head coach. And at the end of the day, the kids had to play the game. Yes, we talk about the importance of coaching. The coaches, you know, drawing up the X's and the O's. But it's the Jimmys and Joes that have to play the game. And Michigan proved that they are a worthy champion. Whatever happened with Connor Stallions, I can guarantee and tell you, those kids didn't have nothing to do with it. Whatever went on with Coach Harbaugh being suspended 6 games, those kids didn't have nothing to do with it. And at the end of the day, whatever the NCAA want to suspend him for and still investigate, who cares about a cheeseburger and some darn French fries? Seriously. I want to close out with another story, and it might be a little bit lengthy, or I can shorten it. Maybe 2 stories. For you Kansas City Chiefs fans that may be listening to this. Chris Jones says Saturday could be my last game at Arrowhead. Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones is ready for the possibility that he'll be leaving Kansas City. Jones is set to become a free agent in March, acknowledged today that Saturday night's game against the Dolphins might be the last one he plays in front of the Chiefs fans. It could be my last game at Arrowhead, Jones said. Who knows? The 29-year-old Jones was a second-round pick of the Chiefs in 2016 and has played his entire career with them. He's won 2 Super Bowl rings in Kansas City, been a first-team All-Pro once and a Pro Bowler 5 times. He's been a major part of the Chiefs' recent run of success. But it's entirely possible that the Chiefs will decide they need to start building with younger and cheaper players and can't afford the contract Jones is going to want, which means Jones is just being realistic that this could be his last game at Arrowhead. In some more news, I'm going to shift around to basketball. As Kevin Durant says, he meant no ill will by comments about Draymond Green's suspension. He says, I'm glad he's back. Kevin Durant cleared up his comments about Draymond Green's latest suspension on Monday night. Durant speaking after he and Phoenix Suns fell to the Los Angeles Clippers 138-111 at Crypto.com Arena on Monday, insisted he meant no ill will toward Green in the wake of his indefinite suspension. Durant initially said that he hoped Green gets the help that he needs. That comment, Green said, initially left him pissed. He says, you got to look at it from my perspective. Like before I had made those comments, people were saying Draymond's going to therapy and blank, Durant said on Monday via ESPN. Like, what am I supposed to think? They say somebody going to therapy. I'm hoping he gets better from that and hope he learns from whatever he feels like he needs to learn from going to therapy. I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he can move past that. Draymond is an incredible teammate. He got his times where he loses temper, but everybody has those times, and I'm sure they all are happy to have him back. But I didn't mean no ill will by what I said. I know some people look at me as this malicious snake, passive aggressive. I know how people feel about me sometimes. So when I say blank, I don't mean no harm by nobody. I don't mean to disrespect him or his family. If he felt that way, I'm just glad he's back on the court. Kevin Durant, I'm just glad he's back. Green, who played with Durant on the Warriors briefly, was suspended indefinitely after he struck Sun Center Joseph Nurkic in a game last month. The league reinstated Green officially on Saturday after 12 games, and he's currently ramping back up to make his official return. During that suspension, the league said that Green completed steps that demonstrated his commitment to conforming his conduct to standards expected of NBA players, and that he engaged in meetings with the counselor. The league, the Warriors, and the National Basketball Association, Players Association, those meetings will reportedly continue through the rest of the season. This last suspension was Green's second of the year, following a five-game suspension when he put Rudy Gobert in a chokehold during a brawl in the opening seconds of their game against the Timberwolves earlier this season. Green said on his podcast this week that he was ready to retire from the sport altogether during his suspension, but that Commissioner Adam Silver talked him out of it. On his podcast, Green admitted that Durant's comments about him getting help had rubbed him the wrong way. He says, "I'll tell you, it really pissed me off when Kevin Durant said, 'Green wasn't like that when I was around him, and I hope he gets the help he needs,'" Green said on his podcast via ESPN. "And then I start going into this deep dive. I went back to Kevin Durant's statement. As I sat with myself, I said, I think it is time that the world gets to know me, who I am. And if I can look at Kevin's statement the right way, through the right mindset, through the right lens, he is acknowledging essentially what I want the world to know about me." And then he spoke about help, Green continued. And I'm like, how is he going to say I need help? And when I went back through it with another lens, I was like, maybe you shouldn't hear help so negative. Like, maybe you were listening to the word help with the same mindset that the word help meant when you were 15 years old. Maybe he is not saying that as negatively as you're taking it. And even if he was, I made a decision in that moment that I wasn't going to take it that way. It was a very proud moment for me because I said, you're ready for growth. That is a step in the right direction. Green has averaged 9.7 points, 5.8 assists, 5.5 rebounds in 15 games this season. He's 12th in the league. He will miss the Warriors game against the New Orleans Pelicans on Wednesday night, but could be back on the court as soon as this weekend. Durant, on the other hand, is averaging just shy of 30 points per game with the Suns this season. He put up 30 points and had 7 rebounds in Monday night's loss in Los Angeles, which dropped Phoenix to 19-18 on the season. Once again, Durant's words, "I'm just glad he's back," Durant said. "I'm glad he's able to talk about his situation, move forward from it, and get back to playing and finishing out his Hall of Fame career." Well, whatever else I was going to get to, I'm not going to even attempt to do it. I just want to say I hope that you have enjoyed ride on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast. I have enjoyed being your conductor. I always enjoy being your conductor. But we're getting ready to take this train back to the station. As I always say, keep your tickets because the tickets are reusable. And again, of course, they are also free. Once again, that poll question will simply be this: will Mike Vrabel be the next head coach of the New England Patriots? So to all of my Spotify listeners out there, I will be posting this link. I want you to interact. I want to hear your I want to see your comments. Tell me, what is it that you think about this podcast, how it can get better? Because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about each and every one of you that makes this podcast the number one podcast. And then, once again, for you Spotify listeners, there's a link right there where you can also answer the poll question. This year, I want to interact with each and every one of my listeners. Who knows? The more we interact, I might have you on as a special guest. So, tell me what you think in the comments about this podcast. And also, vote on the poll question. Until the next time, take care of yourself and each other. Be blessed. Peace. I'm out.
Today's podcast was sponsored by The Glass Man, located at 4411 West Central. Chip, crack, or just plain broken, bring your windshield by The Glass Man.